He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems. The biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need. How prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com. You're listening to Jim Paris Radio.
For a little ride.
Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
Now that's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
This is Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. And now your host, the author of more than 20 books, and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the live broadcast. Good to be with you on a Sunday night. Just a program note, next Sunday night, there will not be a broadcast. Why? Because it's Easter. Well, I shouldn't say that. We're going to do a replay. We're going to do a best of show next Sunday night, so we will have something playing for you during this time slot. It's just that we won't be live. And since the show is called Jim Paris Live, I thought that might be an important thing to mention to you. We've got a great, great show lined up for you tonight. One of my good friends, Tom Donahue, will be with us for the hour. And some of you are going to know who Tom is, and you're going to probably scratch your head and say, where do I know that name, Tom Donahue? He is really one of the fathers of Patriot Radio. He's got a very interesting story to share with you, the history of getting started back in the 1980s in what is today really Patriot Radio, and it wasn't really known as that at the time, but he really was one of the founders of that. So he's going to be with us tonight to talk about his life story of getting involved with the Patriot Radio movement and some of that. And we're also going to be talking about talk radio and where is talk radio today. There's lots of weird things going on right now with talk radio. We've got major, huge corporations buying up all the radio stations, creating radio networks, and sort of creating an inside club here. If you're not in the club, you don't get on any of their radio stations. And it was interesting. I was with Dave Ramsey at his office last week, and he was telling a group of us that were there. I was there to meet with him one-on-one, but he invited me to be in a group meeting. And in that meeting, he was sharing how somebody had come to his office and basically threatened him and said, if you don't want to lose all your radio stations and become a non-entity, you need to join our radio network. And he kind of laughed and shared that story because he's totally self-syndicated, Dave Ramsey. Unusual as that is, he's on several hundred radio stations, totally self-syndicated out of his office there in Nashville. So he doesn't have a radio network behind him. He has his own radio network. If you're a new listener to the program, my name is Jim Paris. I'm the editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. And for those of you that might be tuned in tonight to hear me talk about profitable sunrise, tonight we're not going to talk about profitable sunrise. This is a, and you know what? It's good for me to take a break from profitable sunrise because it's been consuming my life for like the last 6 weeks, and I'm getting really tired of it, to be honest with you. There are thousands of people that only know one thing about me, that I'm the profitable sunrise guy. And, you know, that's really sad because there's so much more to Jim Paris than profitable sunrise. But we're not going to go there tonight. So if you've got your trigger finger all ready to go and you want to have a big fight with me about profitable sunrise, not tonight. Not doing it. Not going there. If you do want to see the latest on this story, you can check it out by going to profitablesunriseinvestigation.com, and you'll see my appearance. I was on with Pat Robertson this week on the 700 Club. I'm really making the rounds here. I'm on with Pat Robertson this week, and then last week I'm with Dave Ramsey up at his office in Nashville. A couple weeks before that, I'm on with George Norrie. So I'm really making the rounds here on the talk shows, and whether it's my new book, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, or this profitable sunrise thing that I've gotten myself in the middle of, people still think it's interesting to talk to me, at least about one thing or another. A couple of quick announcements before we welcome our guests to the program tonight. For those of you that have been helping us financially by shopping with us, we want to thank you. And some of you are saying, what does that mean? Well, we have a deal going with Amazon.com. And today, I was like a kid in a candy shop because today I got my Amazon.com credit in. And how it works, and I'll tell you what we did with that money today, but let me tell you how it works. Instead of going to Amazon.com, when you go to, you know, you're going to shop at Amazon, you're going to buy a book or a computer or whatever, instead of typing in Amazon.com, type in shop.christianmoney.com. That's shop.christianmoney.com. So when you do that, it takes you to Amazon.com, and everything's the same. All the products are the same. All the prices are the same. But they give me a small percentage of that money that you spend. So I get, you know, I get like a referral fee from Amazon just because you typed in shop.christianmoney.com. And today I went to town. I got myself a beautiful studio light. So that, and we just ordered a huge, it's an enlargement of my book, and it is 6 feet plus tall. And it's this huge, big enlargement. It's a sign like you might see at a convention booth. We had this made, custom made at a printer, and it shipped, took us a couple weeks to get it, but we've got it now. So I've got this beautiful backdrop behind my microphone and my computer and all that. And we were testing it out the other day, and the lighting just isn't perfect in here. So we got a big, beautiful, a soft light box is what it's called, and that's going to be mounted up about halfway up the wall here, right in front of where I broadcast from. So we'll be able to start doing a lot of this with video. So I bought that today. I bought a software program, which I have, but I needed to get a more recent version. It's the Dragon Naturally Speaking, so I bought that. I got a new headphone. I bought some electronics. I got some cabling for our studio here. I got all the stuff, and I was telling my wife all the stuff that I bought, and I said, guess how much money I spent? She said, how much? And I said, zero. I bought all that stuff using my Amazon.com credit. And I want to thank you, our listeners and supporters, because lots of you are doing this because that money isn't coming from nowhere. I mean, you guys are remembering to do that. I get emails from people saying, I'm bookmarking this. I'm putting it in my computer and bookmarking it. I'm putting a little yellow sticky on the corner of my computer monitor. And we thank you so much for just remembering to support us by going to shop.christianmoney.com the next time you're going to buy something in Amazon. That's shop.christianmoney.com. All right, without any further delay, and we are going to take calls tonight too, so I will give the number out here in just a moment, but I want to welcome to the broadcast a new friend of mine. I've been listening to him on the internet for a few months, and I made contact with him. I've never met him in person, but we talk probably three or four times a week over Skype, or chat over Skype, that sort of thing, and really have enjoyed getting to know Tom Donahue. You may recognize the name. He's really one of the founders of what today is the Patriot movement. In fact, I've said this before, that he really should be up there with Alex Jones. In fact, I think that Alex Jones should step down and Tom Donahue should take over from Alex Jones, because the truth is that Tom was there way before Alex Jones, and makes a whole lot more sense in so many ways, you know, is somebody that's out there. And what's neat about Tom is you're not going to be able to figure out, is this guy a Republican or a Democrat? Because he's really wouldn't fit into either of those categories. You can listen to him over at TalkStreamLive.com. He's on there all the time. He's got a live program. We're going to have him tell us all about it tonight and how you can listen to him. But he's been on the radio for years. He took a break from the radio, but he's now on his comeback, and we want to welcome Tom Donahue to Jim Paris Live tonight. Tom, good to have you with us.
Hi, Jim. Thank you so much. Really appreciate being a part of your broadcast. And any and all ways I can connect with the American populace and beyond, telling the truth. I'm a liberty lover, freedom fighter. I didn't create the Patriot Movement. I became a part of it starting back about 1981. But I brought those patriot concepts, you know, the constitutionality of things and individual liberty and religious freedom and any and all ways that we could get back to a saner society, meaning, you know, based on biblical principles, based on constitutional precepts. And so I said, you know what, we're gonna make this proudly Patriot Radio. And so when I took the program to the airwaves in 1990, locally and then eventually nationally, it was an America First theme. You know, I proudly proclaimed that it was Patriot Radio. Alex Jones was still growing up as a late in his teens, and then he figured out what a microphone was in the studios of a public access studio in the mid 90s. And I'm not here to dethrone anybody. I'm not here to replace anybody. But I am here to hold people accountable, just like we have to hold the politricksters accountable. You know, the bottom line is when you look at these two parties, and the reason I could not fit into either of them, you have one that's the socialist, the corporate socialist, which are the Republicans, feigning as though they're really for individual liberty and limited government. We'll go ask the two Bush, the two Bush family members, Papa and Junior, and tell me if they were for really truly smaller government. Then you've got the red commies, which are the Democrats, which claim to be progressives now. So no, I couldn't fit into either of them. Maybe the Republicans are a little less harmful and maybe not as rabid. In terms of being just outright communist. But I have to say that talk radio, when you have people that are beholden in the front and the back pockets of people like Mitt Romney and the Republican Party, well, for instance, in this past election cycle, now, Romney did not win. Romney was not a great candidate. Romney had all the opportunities to take down a very weak incumbent, and he was ineffectual. And so when you look at this, you say, wait a minute, we have three stooges. Well, I won't even put the fourth in there because you were just a guest on his show, but I always saw his show as escapism, and I always saw his show as kind of entertainment. So we won't even go to Noryville. So you look at Glenn Beck, the clown, the crybaby, the goofball with the goggles. Remember, he was feigning he was going to be the next blind cleric. There's nothing wrong with his eyesight. But he continues to personally and professionally enrich himself, but that's okay. So you have the clown and crybaby. That is over the top theatrical, and he thinks radio is his romper room. Then you have Rush Limbaugh, the walking walrus, the pomposity from Palm Beach, and in addition to Rush and Beck, through Premier Radio Network's Clear Channel, you have Sean Hannity. You know, Savage calls him the wall banger. You know, I just simply refer to him as the Jughead, you know, because I don't think the man's ever had an original thought in his life. But that's just my view, and I'm holding to it.
Yeah, and these one of the things I enjoy listening to Tom is he's got these nicknames for all these different players. And the first time I started listening to him, the first few episodes, I didn't know the nicknames. But over time, I sort of started figuring them out. And there almost should be like a Tom Donahue radio listener for dummies book where maybe you could give people like
a cue card for them.
A scorecard where we can get all these names.
Let me say something first.
Sure.
You know, you actually start off talking about someone that I forgot to use his nickname, and I apologize. The Bullhorn Bully from Austin, Texas. That's AJ. You know, it was apish antics and a guy that thinks that every conspiracy is wrapped in another conspiracy, and how do I trump that conspiracy, whether it's truthful or not, the next day?
And, you know, and one of the things I'll say in fairness to you, you're open-minded to the idea that the government might be up to no good and that there could be a conspiracy. You know, we can go back to things like the JFK assassination.
Well, I was considered the conspiracy guy in radio until AJ and the Bullhorn came along, okay? And so no, I proudly accept that moniker, and I have no problem because I think most things happen by design and not by accident or acts of randomly in nature. But the thing is, when you're going to try to expose and divulge a conspiracy, it's got to be factual. It's got to be based in reality.
Yeah,
and,
like
and
if
so,
I go
so
through
I will
the
reserve judgment. If I don't know for sure, I'll say, I don't know. I mean, you know, when people
right.
say
and
that, that,
and that's one of the things I enjoy about listening to Tom is. You know, he's not going to make one of these illogical leaps where if I go through a drive-through and they forget to add mustard to my hamburger, I'm not going to be spinning an idea in my head all the way home that there's some conspiracy.
Yeah, they have poisoned you because of that. That's right.
Right.
AJ would be saying that. I mean, if you were to listen to him and take him seriously, you'd already be in a FEMA camp or exterminated, okay?
Yeah, it is fascinating to listen to some of these folks. And, you know, it does make you wonder, though. My son growing up was a big fan of the Worldwide Wrestling Entertainment, WWE or whatever it's called. I know they've changed their name. But he had me – I remember one year it was a really big deal. He wanted us for Christmas for me to take him to one of these wrestling matches. And I had never been
to one. I use the analogies all the time because – the fact of the matter is, when you say that you know you've got the hero and the heel, the black hat and the white hat, well, now they realize it's more entertainment, although they're athletic, and yes, there are some grudges and gripes at times. But speaking of that, Glenn Beck wouldn't even show up at Reunion Arena in Dallas
because he
took so seriously, one of the characters. But then he was a coward. He wouldn't show up. They said, we'll give you 5 minutes to say anything you want about wrestling or about the fans or about politics. He wouldn't show up, that punk.
Yeah, and so you do think it's a fair analogy that there is a lot of that sort of caricature, almost maybe self-created, that these people get themselves into it. And that's one of the things that makes talk radio today for me not very interesting. You know, when you listen to like a Sean Hannity show where everybody calls in pretty much agrees with him and they're all great Americans
American. Whether it's Billy Cunningham, whether it's Mark Levin or Sean Hannity, the guy calling in could be a predator. You know, I mean, for God's sake, how do you know if this guy's a great American? Because he's complimenting you?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't accept that. And the only kind of callers that I will spend time with, you have to be informed. If you're uninformed or you're
you
told,
have, because,
you're going to get bounced. Okay,
because,
I'm going to chop you up like chop suey.
Because what you want to have is a show that is an interesting show, not just a mantra that's over and over and over again. Let's give out the phone number right now if you're listening. And you want to talk to Tom Donahue, and we're going to take calls throughout the show, so maybe we'll bring up something later that interests you. So write down the number. It's 888-287-3316. Agree or disagree, maybe you love Rush Limbaugh and you want to come in and come to his defense, or you want to talk to Tom about his early days in Patriot Radio, or you remember him back from the early days. 888-287-3316 is the number to dial, 888-287-3316. Or what we do is we take a lot of questions also by email, because a lot of you are listening streaming over your computer and you'd rather just email the question in. We'll take questions by email tonight. Jim@christianmoney.com. That's Jim@christianmoney.com. Tom, take us back to the early days of your beginnings in radio and tell us about that.
Well, I started, actually, the way I got involved in what I call the Patriot Movement, Freedom, Truth, Liberty movements, they're all offshoots, they're all part of this grander concept of freedom. And it's rebels with causes. You know, it's not just we're going to rebel against government because we want to have a temper tantrum. It's because we see our rights infringed upon. We see freedom diminished. And so, and we see that when the government's lips are moving, they're lying. So we want to hold them accountable and responsible and go after the culprits. And the way I look at it is that you name the names and the organizations, and then that's the best way than just trying to do broad generalizations, you know, characterizing, because there might be more Jewish bankers. So some people assume it's a Jewish conspiracy, not a Jewish conspiracy at all. It might be a satanic conspiracy. But you have numerous groups and individuals that are involved. And as Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. And I judge people by what they produce and the type of fruits they bear, if any. So I was listening to talk radio, and I hear Irwin Schiff. This was back 1980. And he was on a talk show in Philadelphia, and he's talking about, you know, the criminality of the tax system and how so few really actually owe that tax or are liable for that tax. And he was talking about the Social Security scam and as a Ponzi scheme. Speaking of Ponzi schemes, I know you're entangled in some stuff that you were exposing.
but we won't mention that today, right?
Yeah, right. So Irwin Schiff is actually talking about one of the grandest and one of the largest pyramid schemes of all time. That's the Social Security system. And so I think, wow, I got to go out to the bookstore and buy these books and find out more. And then I move with my job, and I'm in Houston, then eventually Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so I meet people that are part of the Patriot movement, the tax movement. But then I also meet people that are on kind of like the conspiracy side. Some are John Berger, some are other folks that are just talking about, you know, these world elitists and these globalists that run the world monetarily, financially, politically. And the book that I read at that time was None Dare Call It a Conspiracy by Gary Allen. Eventually I got into Eustace Mullen's works and others. But so that got me started. I'm mad as hell, not going to take it anymore. I got involved in some organizations as I was continuing still in the publishing industry as a marketing rep. And then I eventually retired from that and started my own organization when I moved to Dallas, Texas, called the American Liberty Association. And I said, you know what, we got to get the word out. Everyone could say, oh, the media is completely controlled. And I said, well, we don't know that for sure. And why not at least try to get some speakers and guests onto radio and television, newspaper articles? So I was young, and maybe people thought I was dumb, even though I was educated, that I said, you know what, I never let artificial obstacles get in my way. So I started making contact, and I said, oh, well, that sounds interesting. We'll have them on. And we got the highest rankings of having these guests on. And so I started putting on conferences and seminars, and we just kept getting greater media attention. And so as I was going in and out of these studios, even though I was a communications major, I said to myself, you know, I started getting this vision and this calling that this can't just be hit or miss. We've got to have a program that addresses these issues on a daily basis, coast to coast and border to border, and eventually going to local radio and then national syndication, and happened very rapidly, was that there was a hunger in America. There was a desire to learn more. I mean, when I start talking about the Federal Reserve and the New World Order and things like this, you know, very few Americans knew that the Federal Reserve was a syndicate, you know, that it was a private corporation, had little to do with government, that's window dressing. At worst or at best, however you look at it, you would say maybe it's a hybrid, but they do have private stock ownership. And so nobody knew much about this. And so by my broadcast and being on 150 to 200 radio stations over time, we really got the message out. We worked with a lot of independent candidates in 1992, Andrea Maru, libertarian, Bo Greitz was an independent candidate. We even interviewed Ross Perot, which I thought he was kind of a joke anyway, but I still interviewed him. And as you mentioned, Pat Roberts, and I interviewed him on his book, The New World Order. And I believe it was a man by the name of Pat Brooks that actually more or less ghost wrote that book. But and what's so funny, here he was saying kind things about George Bush, and in his book, The New World Order, they were exposing the Bush family and dynasty and their ties to the globalist order. So that was kind of ironic.
Yeah, it is funny, the interesting bedfellows that we find in politics. Let's take a caller here. We've got, Marie calling from Los Angeles. Marie, let me see. Let's unmute her and bring her on. There we go. Marie, you're
hello.
On the program with Tom Donahue. Say hello to Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Marie. How are you?
Hi, good. I was just kind of curious. What are some talk show hosts that you do like? I mean, someone that you would...
That's a really good question, and I'll give you a straightforward an answer. I like the mind and I like the talent of Michael Savage. There's some areas where if you're looking for him to be a political forecaster or prognosticator, he's wrong about 90% of the time. But if you want someone that is well educated, that's interesting, that is spontaneous, you know, I like that. Okay, but I don't really care about Teddy and meatballs. But overall,
I love
he's
the stories.
Very,
of, wait a minute,
very bright,
wait a minute,
very,
I love
very
the
talented
stories
guy.
Of, Tom, I love the stories about Teddy. Please.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. I have a mascot cat here now, and I'd love to tell you about him, but I think that would be taking away valuable airtime. But I would say on the alternative side, I like Jack Blood. We don't agree on everything, but I think Jack Blood does a good program. And there's others that I respect for certain things. Is there any in particular you want me to give you the rundown on?
Not really. I'm quite enjoying your rundown on different topics. So I'll just keep listening and see what else you
all right, Marie.
Thanks
for your call. You know that's a great question that she asks, because I think, Tom, is it fair to say that just like most of us that are in talk radio, you're also a fan of talk radio? You like to listen
exactly
to talk radio?
That's exactly right. I am, and I can respect. Matter of fact, this is kind of an interesting story. One of the networks I was with in 1993 was the Talk America Radio Network, and at that time, when I joined their network, leaving the People's Radio Network with Chuck Carter, they had Morton Downey Jr. coming on the mornings, then my show, and then Jack Anderson. I never met Morton Downey Jr., but his radio program did not translate as well as from TV. And Neil Bortz was quoted recently as saying that the skill set that someone brings from TV broadcasting does not always do them so well. I mean, it's not always that it's like one is the A league and the other is the B league. They're different skill sets, and so some people think that they could just naturally just come right off the television or out of the television studio and do radio, and it's a whole different animal. It's a completely, you know, they're different ball games, and so I agree with him on that. But so I have had interactions with or worked around or associated with other hosts. And I remember when there was a book written not too long ago that talked about in the 90s, you know, what was going on in talk radio. At that time, Sean Hannity was doing local radio in Atlanta. I was in Florida through some of the national syndication that I was doing. And they called me the conspiracy host back then, but they said I was a top five host at the time. Granted, Rush Limbaugh was on bigger stations. Rush Limbaugh had more listeners. There's no question about that. But, you know, he was at 250 at that time, and we were 150, 200, same with Chuck Carter. So we were doing pretty well, you know. But, you know, you come under attack, and we were hitting subjects that were just too sensitive. I mean, I was the only one nationally that spent every single day debriefing Bo Grice, Jack McGlam at Ruby Ridge, Idaho. Same thing with Waco, Texas, and what happened there with Butch and Butcherino and the slaughter of those people at the Branch Davidians there outside of Waco, Texas. So these are the issues that I spent the time on. You know, I didn't care what the affiliates thought. I didn't care what the networks thought. You know, something said, well, can't you do something else? They said, no. I said, when Americans are under siege like this, we're not going to talk patty cake theater. And no, I'm not really interested in what legislation's being debated.
Yeah, fair enough. And those are all interesting stories to have been in talk radio at that time, and certainly to be taking it from the perspective that you did, having such an independent voice. We're going to take a break right now. Tom, this is going to be a five-minute break, so if you want to stretch your legs, we're going to go ahead and mute
minutes.
You. Yeah, five-minute break.
5 minutes.
Before we go to break, tell people about your website and how they can get in touch with you.
TomDonahueReports.com. TomDonahueReports.com. This is a great time to promote that, because we're going to go to a five-day format. And I can tell you more when we come back from the break. But if they want to get a little preview and they want to see some of the things I'm involved with, just simply go to TomDonahueReports.com.
All right, very good. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back. Stay tuned for more with Tom Donahue right here on Jim Paris Live.
Look for a little ride.
Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics, or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted, and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
That's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
Hi, this is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. If you are interested in learning some new strategies for generating online income, check out my free training schedule at jimsfreetraining.com. That's jimsfreetraining.com. Whether you're just looking for part-time income or to build an internet business that can replace your full-time job, check out this free online workshop coming up this week. Register now at jimsfreetraining.com. The workshops are free, but are each limited to just 250 people. So take a minute now and reserve your space for my next free online workshop. That's jimsfreetraining.com. jimsfreetraining.com. Are you tired of hearing how the economy is doing so badly and how there are no opportunities? This is Jim Paris, and I want to share with you an opportunity that I first learned of a little over a year ago, right here in my own neighborhood. I was out walking my dog and saw someone cleaning a foreclosed house. And I struck up a conversation with them and actually found out that there is a business opportunity of cleaning out foreclosed homes for the banks. And these people don't make pennies. In fact, some of them make as much as $1,000 to $1,500 for one day of cleaning out foreclosed houses. Now, what's really neat about this opportunity is that the foreclosure crisis isn't going anywhere. So this is an opportunity that's going to be around for years to come. It's an interesting business opportunity, one that I think really does deserve your attention. And there's a website that you can go to get all of the details on this opportunity. It's called foreclosurecleaning.us. Now, maybe you want to do this just part-time, maybe just on the weekends or in the evenings. It's an opportunity that is very unique, and with everything that's happening in the economy today, it's something that's actually growing and expanding while many other things are drying up and withering. It's a unique opportunity, one that I think will give you a chance to maybe become self-employed, get out of the rat race, an opportunity to get into a whole new line of work. And it doesn't take very much money at all to start a business like this, and it doesn't take very much training. After all, you're just doing basic cleaning. To find out more about the exploding foreclosure cleaning business, check out the website foreclosurecleaning.us. That's foreclosurecleaning.us. Hi, this is Jim Paris, and I want to share with you something really unique that I ran across recently. It's an idea that I think would be very, very interesting to many of our listeners. How would you like to get paid to travel internationally and actually live in a foreign country for maybe a year or even longer? It's a unique opportunity, and it doesn't take a lot to get involved in this. The opportunity is that of teaching English as a foreign language. Now, I'm going to give you a website here that you can go to get more information on this. It's called MakeMoneyTeaching.us. That's MakeMoneyTeaching.us. Now, at the website, you're going to learn all about a unique opportunity where you can become certified to teach English as a foreign language. Now, you don't have to go back to college, and it won't take you years to get this certification. In just a matter of a few weeks, you can become certified to teach English as a foreign language. There are organizations that will actually pay you and actually pay your transportation costs as well to bring you into a foreign country, and you might live there for a year or longer. Many of the arrangements even include paid housing. Now, if you're someone that doesn't want to travel internationally, you can also take this same training and use this credential to teach right here in the United States or even over the internet using Skype. Take a couple of minutes today and check this out. It's definitely a very interesting opportunity that I think deserves your attention. Again, the website is MakeMoneyTeaching.us. That's MakeMoneyTeaching.us. Okay, we are back, and my guest is Tom Donahue. He is the host of his own a national program broadcast over the internet, and also he does have a flagship station out in Southern California. And Tom, tell us a little bit about, I don't know if you heard the promo I played there for TalkStream Live, but you and I are both on TalkStream Live, and there's probably a lot of people listening to us tonight via podcast replay, which we're on several different podcast networks as well. Some people listen to us over at Blog Talk Radio, but I would like to think our main outlet is TalkStream Live, and I just looked at the screen, and on the desktop screen, we're number three right now, so it looks like we're pulling a good audience.
And actually popped up to number two. So
yeah, I'm sure it's helping because really I have the name Pound Tom Donahue there because you have quite a following. But tell us a little bit about TalkStream Live and tell us about your radio show and your future plans. What's going on with all that?
Okay, well, TalkStream Live is a dynamic directory, and they have over 2,000 shows listed in that directory, over 500 stations. And any show that's streaming, generally they're talk shows, they'll have some blog talk shows, but most of them are from radio stations. The streams generally come from station streams, but sometimes they're direct from the broadcaster. And as long as the sound is clear and as long as the message isn't hate and vile and filth, you know, there's very little screening or censorship in that regard. But I'm glad that there are some standards. And again, what really bothers me is when I hear someone say, well, I had to go to the Internet. Why? Because you can drop the F-bomb? Is that the real reason? People say, well, I need freedom to say things. Now Dr. Laura, to use the N-word 11 times as an excuse to go to Sirius Radio made no sense to me. But that's another issue for another time. But when people think that hate speech, you know, we're it's one thing if you're talking about Zionism or you're talking about some subject and you're trying to have an intellectual discussion, but when you want to just blame people because of their skin color, their religion, their race, their ethnicity, you know, and it's every day, well, that's not talk radio. That's you know, to me, it would make sense for a station or a network or a directory to say we're not interested. See you later. But I would never want the government to say that you couldn't say those things or that you couldn't stream on your own. People think they're being censored when you say, wait a minute, your station, you've made a decision on what host and programs and format and mission that you have, but people don't realize that everything we do in life, it's a choice. It's a decision that is somewhat discriminatory because you decide what you favor or like or dislike. But back to what I'm doing. I realized that when I made my comeback in 2009 that you could not do this exclusively, and it took me a while to figure this out, through the Internet. Even though Blog Talk's great, TalkShoe, you've got Spreaker, you've got a lot of different ways, but if you try to just do that solely, you're going to have a limited audience. Why? Because it's hard for them to find you. There's so many choices. It's so fractured and fragmented. So if you have a base of operation, and I heard Holland Cook on a show not too long ago, who's a big-time media consultant, and you'll see him on television. He's sort of like Michael Harrison with Talkers Magazine. He knows all kinds of stuff. And he said, yeah, the new media is great. Internet's great. He said, just like I said, it's hard to find shows. He said, one guy that's mastered that, he said, I'm not a fan of his, meaning Holland Cook. He said, it's Glenn Beck. He said, Glenn Beck, right under the noses of stations and a syndicator and formerly Fox, he's able to siphon off all these people to his own streaming network and his own Blaze media production television station. And so the reason he's growing is because every day he's using that base of operation in broadcast media to bring them to the new media, which is his media that he owns and profits from. So even though he is a clown, a crybaby, and just an all-around goofball, he's a smart businessman underneath all that. I mean, yeah, I know he chased Michael Jackson's chimp in 1986 as a DJ around the studios, and that video does exist on YouTube. Was it Bonzo the Chimp or Bubbles the Chimp or whatever? But, yeah, he spent 4 hours filming that, thinking that was a great promo. That's the real Glenn Beck.
Now tell us about your plans. And then I want to get into some of the things we want to talk about, you know, what's happening right now with some of these guys promoting gold and income at home and all this kind of garbage.
Okay.
Tell us about your plans.
Yeah, okay, immediately, and this is great timing, April 1st, and it's not April Fool's Day. Matter of fact, I started my national syndication replacing Chuck Carter April 1st, 1991. So there's something about that date. And again, I'm not into numerology or those kind of things. But it's just kind of funny, but it's for real. It's not an April Fool's joke. But we're going to go 5 nights. And my station that I've worked with for about the last almost 2 months now, they said, well, why don't we put you in the overnights? And I said, well, you know, it's kind of, you know, 1 a.m. Pacific, 4 a.m. Eastern is really not my cup of tea. I said, what do you propose? They said, well, you know, you know how to pre-produce your shows. And I said, well, yeah, that's great. So they said, we'll expand you from 1 to 5 nights. I said, great. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. So no more weekends for now. I also have been talking with some major market stations that are starting to show interest. And maybe I'll have a gig that way too. But in terms of my own operation, this will be a reality. But we also have an internet station, Talk Superstation, that's going to run it around 11:30 at night. And there'll be other internet portals and platforms. And I'm going to consult with some of the independent stations to see if they'll carry this. And it's always podcasted. I'm a real believer, and I think you are too, Jim, that when it comes to information, try to give people as much freely as possible. I mean, there are some premium services and things that people are, you know, you're worthy of your talents and your time and should be compensated. But our podcasts are free, and they can find all that information at TomDonahueReports.com.
Very exciting news, and congratulations on all that. Talk with me, if you can, for a moment about really you've been there for this whole ride of, you know, really the start of nationally syndicating radio shows. And people don't realize that, especially younger people, that there wasn't always national syndication. I mean, up until probably the late 1970s, most radio was locally programmed. There were no Rush Limbaughs or anyone like that. Am I correct in saying that?
That's really true. I mean, Larry King was one of the first, you know, that was nationally syndicated. And they used him like George Norrie, filler at night, you know.
And then
they started bringing on the sex therapist, doctor, whatever her name was Weisheimer.
Dr. Ruth or whatever. Westheimer.
And then there was the one with the Sally Jesse Raphael. So they started using those kinds of shows that wouldn't compete with what I call real talk radio. Now, people get offended, but things that are trade, variety, counseling, psychics, it's not real talk radio. You know, if you're not talking about, you know, the political provocative issues of the day, to me, you know, that's just my opinion. People can look at it another way. But for me, when I look at talk radio, it's people talking the issues that affect us the most. And so some of these things that are so specialized and really off the beaten path of what I consider talk radio or, you know, really, if it's a town forum, that's why my program was called America's Town Forum back in the early to mid-90s, because it's like going to the town square and people are talking issues and they're trying to, you know, reconcile it if they've got it right in terms of the news and the politics of the day. And so, it's true. When I was back then, there weren't that many shows that were syndicated, and it was a challenge. I all my friends, all my family, all my colleagues said, "You'll never get on local radio." So I got that accomplished. You'll never be, on a major market station, you know, or national syndication, and that all happened within almost a year's time. And so it was really quite a roller coaster ride. But I went in there with. I did not change who I was, what I represented. I have people that say today, Tom, your show's too political. I said, well, tough. I said, I'm not part of any political party. I said, if the Constitution offends you, well, then let's part ways. So to me, I'm an independent thinker. I'm a truth seeker.
And that's what makes your show so interesting to listen to. For me, as somebody that can't listen to the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys, now let's put this all in context. So we've got the beginning of nationally syndicated programs starting the late 70s, and now what we have is something different that's happened in recent years, where we have large corporations that have bought up so many of the major stations and formed their own networks. That we have situations like I was mentioning at the beginning of the show. Dave Ramsey was telling me last week that one of the networks came into him, one of the syndicators, and said, look, if you don't go with us, you're going to be out of business, in essence almost threatening him because he's totally self-syndicated out of Nashville, which
I'll tell you what, the latest rankings, and again, I take a little bit of issue with this, with Through Talkers Magazine and what they did with Arbitron ratings. They put Ramsey as the number three host in the nation. I don't think because Savage went to a later time slot, especially him going to bigger markets, that he would have dropped from 3 to 5. But it may be a temporary thing. But nevertheless, he's a top five host right now. He's one of the hottest properties. And again, I don't see that as Real Talk Radio. But I'm sorry, Dave. I think he does a good job. I think he's a nice guy. I think he's well informed. But to me, you know, I would never listen because that to me is, you know, anything that's
right. Well, it's
just
yeah,
strictly
it's,
consumer or. But people need it. He sells out huge arenas,
yeah.
And he's doing it with integrity. I mean, the guy's a good guy.
And you wonder
everything I've read.
Yeah,
you know, you wonder. But again, that's not my cup of tea.
Right, and you wonder how, like, a financial show 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday. You would never think that you could get to that point, so we give them credit for that. But what's happening right now where all of a sudden I'll be listening to talk radio, Tom, and then I hear they all start telling me I should invest in diamonds. Then it's
I should be buying gold.
Before we get
to that, I didn't answer your question fully, if you don't mind, because that was
sure.
you asked me one of the most important questions, I really believe. Okay, national consolidation happened. You know, these corporate conglomerates. It became a virtual monopoly, and it's and I've written about that recently on my blog. You know, you have Clear Channel, Premier Radio Networks. Clear Channel still owns over 1,200 radio stations, most of them news talk. But they syndicate to more than 8,000 stations. Okay, music, various formats. Okay, so when you have the ownership of those stations. And you have hosts that work for you. You didn't earn your place in all those stations. You might have earned your place in one of those stations, but when you own the stations outright, you just simply say, okay, we're going to go in there, fire the local people, maybe keep one guy or gal there in the morning, and then we're going to put our entire lineup in there. That's what happens. WOR just experienced that with Clear Channel coming in and buying WOR out of New York. Then you have Cumulus, which was ABC Radio Network Citadel. And so they're the two biggest. Then you say, okay, well, what if it's a Christian network? Okay, well, let's look at Salem. Salem, you think Mike Gallagher could be on radio beyond one station? No, I don't think so. So Mike Gallagher gets kind of grandfathered in and gets, you know, insinuated into these stations just because, and in fact, they had to remove Laura Ingraham from some of those markets with protest. Because Gallagher was crying like a baby that's his time slot, 9 a.m. Okay, well, he didn't earn it. Salem said, oh, that's right. Sorry, Mike. We'll put you back in there. So you have Salem on the Christian side. You have Cumulus. You have Clear Channel. And then you have other companies that own a pretty big block of stations. So it's pretty easy. I remember when I met Ed McLaughlin at the NAB meeting. You might say, who's that? Well, he was running ABC Radio Networks. And so I asked him about Rush and how that whole thing came about. And he had he had an adult beverage there, and he's pretty loose, and he's, you know, I'm all ears. And he tells me that, he said, oh, we plucked, this was his words, we plucked Rush Limbaugh out of obscurity in Sacramento, California. Well, guess who he understudied with? Morton Downey Jr. before he went to national syndication. So Rush is doing the local thing there in Sacramento. They bring him in. And I said, well, do you think Rush is really that conservative? Does he really believe what he says? So he would have said anything we wanted. He said it just so happened that he came from a family that was conservative, and he had that basic ideology. But Rush would have, if they said Rush is, you know, you're the, because Rush, when you pin him down, he says, I'm an entertainer. And he backs off. Well,
right.
He's an entertainer.
He does say
that's
that.
True. But he also decided to hitch his wagon to the Republican Party, just like Sean Hannity, and they're in complete lockstep. Rush Limbaugh is the maitre d' of the Republican Party, and Sean Hannity is the busboy. That's the way it works. So you have these corporations that. So I love it when Rush Limbaugh would talk about the dominant media, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Rush Limbaugh at that time had somewhere between 15 and 20 million listeners. You add the three or even four major networks for TV news, they don't even equal 15 to 20 million. So who's the dominant media? Hello, Rush Limbaugh.
Now, let me segue into my other question then. So now we've got, instead of stations all independently selecting what networks they want to affiliate with, and people by building followings and popularity begin to rise in the ranks, we now have really someone picking winners and losers in a corporate office somewhere, deciding who's going to be the next Rush Limbaugh. And that then puts these hosts in a pretty vulnerable position when they're told, hey, this month you're going to tell people to buy diamonds. Next month you're going to tell people to buy gold coins. After that, it's going to be income.home.scam that you're going to tell people they need to do.
Is there any national host that you're aware of, because I'm not aware of, that doesn't push income@home.com? And all it would take is a simple internet search or a phone call to find out that it's Herbalife. I mean, who wants to work for an MLM company?
Well, you know, interesting, Tom.
Income@home.com, and you're paying $40 for some stupid package to become a multi-level distributor.
Yeah, interesting. Dave Ramsey, who I talked to last week, he doesn't do it. He said that he told me, in fact, he won't do income@home.com. He told me that the gold companies are so aggressive with him that they will actually mail to his office a check with the contract and assume that he's going to accept it. All he has to do is countersign the contract and deposit the check in the bank. That's how aggressive
I'm not on that level, but I remember I had one gold company for a short period of time, and it was out of Houston, Texas. And they said to me, Tom, can you tell them that you've been a customer of ours for – I said, I'm not a customer of yours. Well, we're a sponsor. Can you say it? I said, no, I couldn't say that. Well, what if we mail you a gold coin? Some people said, Tom, you should have taken that gold coin. I said, no, don't mail me anything, because I'm going to simply tell them what I know about your company and what I have researched about your company. And if you're not happy with that, let's dissolve the contract. So, they were not happy about that.
But
so
what if
we
send
guy,
you, Tom, what if
guy,
they send you 30
okay,
pieces
Houston,
of silver?
Guess who they were sponsoring, and it came out not too long ago. Mike Berry in Houston. That's the guy he just happened to be in a gay bar, and he happened to hit a car on the way out of the parking lot, and he has no recollection of what happened. First it was denial, then no recollection. Then he said, I just happened to wander into the wrong bar. So that guy would probably
instead we'll send you 30 pieces of silver to sell out your audience. How about that?
Oh, of course they would. But I've told every station, every network that I said if I'm on your station, I cannot control what's in your spot, but I can control what's in mine, and I can control if my voice is put to a commercial. And you know what? I don't care how much Pepsi Cola or a cigarette company, or a junk food company. If any of those, I don't care how many zeros are at the end of that. I would not voice it, and I would not endorse it, no matter what, because I have to believe in something, and I'm not going to peddle or pitch anything unless I'm a believer. Period.
All right, now there are two names that I want to get to before we run out of time today. We've got 7 minutes or so left, so pace yourself. The first name is, and you and I have had this conversation a few times, but I want you to tee off on this, Lindsay Williams. He was just on with George Norrie last week for a couple of hours, and he's got all of his new predictions again about the dollar is going to collapse.
Let's save a lot of time. He's a fraud. I sponsored him to come to Dallas, Texas years ago. I actually drove him over to the Marlon Maddox Studios, IRN. And I was with him when he picked up a $7,000 check for his little, I call them little comic books, on the oil business and whatever else he was trying to talk about that has so little documentation. But anyway, he, just like Kevin Trudeau, remember, he knew all the people and he was part of this all these secret societies, and he could teach you how to become wealthy. Well, he's on the run right now. And I think he's in Switzerland. He fled because of all his problems. But Lindsay, he's like a robot. If he puts these little program segments in his head, and I remember taking him over to a couple of studios, and he said, Tom, he doesn't answer any questions. It's like it's pre-programmed, and so you ask him A, like a politician, he's answering B. And so I confronted Lindsay on that. But the second time, I found out when he came into Dallas, Texas, that this Baptist minister, the preacher, the pastor, whatever, he left his wife. Okay. Now the wife she didn't want him to leave, and there was no just cause for him to leave, but he found a young hot model. And I have to admit, she was young and she was hot. But the thing is, so a lot of the pastors in the unregistered churches movement said he was unwelcome. But as time goes by, people forgive, people, they get into new book deals and other kinds of schemes and scams with people that are patriots for profit or pastors for profit. and Lizzie William is that. And I've confronted him face to face in the past, and I made sure he was blackballed in Dallas. And Pastor Everett Sullivan, who experienced the first padlock church in America, he put the word out as well. So I don't know who he's running with these days, but his predictions are way off, and he's a very unreliable, unsubstantiated source.
Now, Chuck Carter is – I just loved listening to Chuck Carter over the years. In fact, it wasn't too many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I was on with Chuck Carter, and I donated several thousand copies of my book to him. It was back in the good days, wanted to do something to help him out. We gave him like a half a truckload of books that he was able to use to raise a bunch of money for his network. What's the latest on Chuck Carter? Is he still around? Is he still broadcasting?
My understanding is he has health issues. He was always a big guy. You know, I mean, a lot of times you'd look at him in the studio, you didn't realize because he was 6'4" and 400 pounds, is still 400 pounds. And, you know, an extreme case of diabetes and other things. Chuck was kind of a very depressive person. I mean, I lived at the Telford Hotel. I worked around him. I guess you could almost say I was the second banana prior to that, his replacement at the Sun Radio Network. And I don't really want to spend much time knocking Chuck. I think he did really good against NAFTA and GATT. He took on some of the conspiracy mantle, although he backed away from a lot of that when he came down. He should have never set himself up as a 501c3 not-for-profit corporation. That's what really got him in trouble. He never really was a good business manager, and that's one of the reasons he lost the original network and then lost People's Radio Network also. So I would say that Chuck kind of knew consumer affairs pretty well. He understood politics. He seemed to look out for the little guy for the most part. So I would say that he has a mixed record, you know, and right now I think he's still tinkering with some things, but nothing major. And I guess you could almost say he's kind of removed himself from.
Did he ever make it to the Radio Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I think people, if he doesn't, it would be a crime because the guy had the voice, he had the talent. I know for a fact he had the stations and he had the listenership. So you can't – see, one thing I'll always do, I will always give credit where credit's due. I will never take away someone's success, you know, or minimize an impact someone has. I can disagree with them politically. I can point out where I think their flaws are. But nevertheless, you still got to give credit where credit's due.
Now, I'm just going to get in our last couple of minutes here. Do you think with some new things that are happening, for example, you know, with the internet really becoming ubiquitous, where I'm reading now that starting next year in the brand new cars, they're all going to have streaming internet. So somebody could sit in their car, press a button, and listen to internet radio just like they can regular radio. Is there anything about the current trends that might change your view that people on over the airwaves radio are always going to have the stronger following than those that are simply internet broadcasters?
No, there's no question that the name brands are always going to have the advantage. You know, that's just the way things work. They're going to get the promotion. They're going to get the push. You know, they're the ones that are going to be on Fox News or CNN. You know, that's just the way it works. And like Alex Jones was picked as the poster boy for the Patriot movement, and he becomes, at least in the view of the media, the official voice of anyone that's part of conspiracy, patriot, truth-related media, which is sad. You know, I mean, he's just a vile and vulgar example of a buffoon that is taken to the microphone. But putting him aside, looking at the new media as well as traditional terrestrial media, it's going to take a while for that to happen, even though it might be in some cars. But even then, you got hundreds, if not thousands of options. Who's going to stand out? Who's going to be known well enough to be found? I mean,
yeah,
Tom Likas, Tammy Bruce. Do you know that, and again, I can't really, I mean, I can't divulge too much. I do some consulting work with TalkStream Live and some other companies. But I can tell you in a general sort of way that these folks, they're lucky on a good day to reach 1,000 listeners, okay? Now, if Tom Likas, when in his heyday in Los Angeles, he could pick two neighborhoods and put them together in Los Angeles and have 1,000 listeners.
They have a low-power station.
So, and they're the most popular or successful on internet
Tom,
radio.
We've got 30 seconds. Give us all your info again, website, when they can hear you, all that stuff.
Well, it's going to be late night and overnight, but you'll be able to listen anytime to either previous podcasts or that same day's podcast. Sometimes if you're a subscriber, which is free, it'll be mailed right into your email inbox, and you'll be able to listen to it. It's going to be part classroom, part commentary, part talk show. It's going to, part interview. It's going to have a lot of stuff going on.
TomDonahueReports.com, is that right?
TomDonahueReports.com, that's right.
Tom Donahue, thank you so much for joining us. Been fantastic. One of my talk radio favorites. Tom Donahue, ladies and gentlemen.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, audience. Have a great, great night.
All right. We'll be back next week with a replay because it is Easter. This is Jim Paris here, as always, to help you make the most of God's money. Talk to you next time.
Go for a little ride.
Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics, or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted, and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
Now that's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
This is Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. You've been listening to Jim Paris Live. For more information about our program, visit ChristianMoney.com or send an email to jim@ChristianMoney.com. Join us next week for another live program.